It's Monday, May 26, 2025, and you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today we're continuing part two of a message in Matthew chapter 13, titled, Valuing What Matters Most.
Can't you say with the psalmist, "Whom have I in heaven but you? There is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." Yes, you can say that. You know that this is the one treasure that has satisfied you the most in this life. It's not even close. You may try to go dig up gold coins all the time, but it doesn't satisfy you. You may try to buy up fields everywhere. It doesn't satisfy you. You've come to Christ. You've entered his kingdom. Can you say that?
And now, here's Pastor Chris.
Ambition. It's like Ted Turner. It's just a remarkable, the man has 2 million acres, you know, from Montana to Texas. He has bought up America. Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like that. What does that mean? Well, the same point is made in the parable that follows. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Pearls were from the Persian Gulf. They found them in the Indian Ocean. Only the rich could afford them. The merchant here is described as a collector of pearls. He's amassed pearls. It's amazing what people will collect, by the way. I've seen some of the most ridiculous collections, if you ever watch Pawn Stars, of what people store up in their homes. They're poor wives, these guys. All this junk of foolish things that they collect. But this is kind of important. A pearl? One day he saw a pearl like he had never seen before. It was unlike any other pearl. I found the mother pearl. I found the pearl. This is it. I've got to have this pearl. I'll sell everything else just to get that pearl. It's what I've been searching for my whole life. And so he sold every other pearl that he had collected in his life, and then he bought that one. Now, what are we describing here? What is Jesus describing here? That's the important thing for understanding, right? Do you understand this, said Jesus. Do you understand this? He's describing the joy of those who found the kingdom of God. Think of what people give all their energy and time to in life. Parse it out a bit. Remember what I read about Luke 16, the Pharisees who were what? Lovers of money. Heard this and they ridiculed him. Jesus here is capturing something so opposite of that. The kingdom of God is like this. The kingdom of God is describing the Lord's rule over everything. And that kingdom is present with Christ on earth. And now that he's been seated, and the kingdom comes to expression in our coming, in our following of Jesus Christ. That's where we see it. If you press me on the details here, this is, and I don't think parables are always meant to do that, but I think you can do that. They give you freedom. Notice here, it's like when one discovers the gospel. When one discovers the pearl of great price in this life, the treasure hidden in the field is Christ, if you will. It's Luther. He couldn't believe what he had found that was buried under, for so many years, human tradition. Buried in Roman tradition was the gospel. Think about looking down at a pile of pure gold of inestimable value and how hard that is to find in this world. Remember the gold rush? It was a hard life, all these people rushing to find gold. Stories are something. But when they found it, it wasn't so happy for them, was it? Jesus says, when they found this treasure, joy. Everything changed. And this is, see, the truth of what's happening, of what we get to preach. Christ has come. Christ is salvation. He's our everything. I had an encouragement from a pastor this past week who sent me a message and said, out of the blue, just at the right moment, I pray this week that you would find great joy in your work and that you would find great delight in Christ. That's a word fitting in season, you know. Well, he is bringing in a kingdom and he is reigning over all. Think of what all we're worried about, and it's the sweetest thing. It means salvation. It means the forgiveness of sins. It means gracious provision for the worst of sinners, for the guiltiest of sinners. It means that he's committed to shepherd us all through our lives. It means that he's committed to guide us and lead us to a heavenly home. This is the pearl. I found the pearl hidden and buried in this field. The point is, what is described here is somebody found what is most valuable in life. Most precious. And anything that would get in the way of that, anything that would interfere, is sold and gone. Now, is that not true of you? I'm not speaking of perfection here. I know you're sinners. I'm just asking the basic question, is it not true of you? We may love our homes. We may love the things that we have at times, position. But can't you say that if Christ took it all away in a moment, that is not what you live for? I think you can. I think you can. And that's a blessedness that's come on you. Remember, Jesus said, everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. See, you would. You'd let it all go in a moment because you have the Spirit of God. Can't you say with the psalmist, whom have I in heaven but you? There is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Yes, you can say that. I'm not saying perfectly, but yes, you can say that. My driving point is that, and it's all the struggle with this, you know that this is the one treasure that has satisfied you the most in this life. It's not even close. You may try to go dig up gold coins all the time, but it doesn't satisfy you. You may try to buy up fields everywhere. It doesn't satisfy you. The blessedness is that you've come. You've come to Christ. You've entered his kingdom. Can you say that? Well, then you know what I'm talking about. If you can't say that today, and this is not connecting with you, then I've got news for you in a moment. Hold on. Good news. At this point, Jesus follows up with another parable. And in this context, the parable doesn't seem to fit. In fact, Hendrickson said, and others said, there's nothing new offered by Jesus here, and I disagree. I would argue it's the placement of it that offers something unique, that gives us insight into what he's describing. The first two parables, remember, describe the blessedness of finding the treasure and finding the pearl of great price. You know what the gospel's done. You know what Christ has done. But now think of this parable. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. When it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into containers, but threw away the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace, in that place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, why does Jesus follow up with this? Well, in the soils, he describes why there's so much opposition to the word. He said there's good soils and there are bad soils. In the second, the wheat and the tares, he describes why there's so much struggle in the kingdom. It's because of the tares causing all kinds of problems for the wheat. But now you can appreciate why Jesus just said this. In the kingdom, where the wheat are, there you will find God's people valuing the kingdom, valuing his church. But just as there is bad soil, and just as there are tares, there will be those among us who do not value the kingdom. Do you understand that? That's what he's saying. That do not value this. It is shown that they never really respond to the word. It is shown that they do not bear fruit. It shows in earthly pursuits and love of mammon, love of money, and not the things of God. And it's all, they're hiding all that. They're hiding all that right now. This is what Jesus was dealing with, is the phoniness of the Pharisees who were hiding all this. He was exposing it. Jesus reminds us in the last parable that while that value may not seem so clear in the present, because the wheat and the tares grow up together, many people cover where their true loyalties are. And there may be some here right now who are covering where their true loyalties are, and they play games with this. It's just for show. It's just for people to see. And on that day, says Jesus, the separation will reveal that. You're not getting away with this game. The kingdom is like a big net. The fishermen who threw out the net, and they separated out those fish that were edible and those that were not, and they were discarded. So the angels are going to come at the end of the age, and they will separate the evil from the righteous, and they will go into a fiery furnace. This is not parabolic at this point. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus taught certainly about hell, and the separation on that day will bring that about. So there it is. The parables describe the kingdom. Receiving the word, bearing fruit, valuing the gospel from those who do not, and why that struggle's going on. Now, you might think that's the end of the matter, right? And there's nothing that can be done about this. What I've just preached is all fatalistic. Jesus is not done. He's got one more. One more. This is amazing. It's as if at this point he had to say and have people think, well, is there a remedy to this? Is there a remedy to this problem? Is there a remedy to the bad soils and the tares and not valuing the... Is there a remedy to this? Isn't there a way of blessedness? To close out the parables in this series, he gives one final one to his disciples, which essentially says, what do you think your responsibilities are then? Why am I sending you out? What do you think people need? They need to find the treasure, don't they? Look at verse 51. Have you understood all these things? They said to him, yes. Have you understood all this? No. Have you understood all this? Have you understood what I've said about the kingdom? Have you understood the struggle in the kingdom? That there are different kinds of soils, and there's wheat and there's tares, and that it's a slow-growing process, and that there are people valuing the kingdom? Do you understand what I've described about the reality and the difficulty of the kingdom of God in this present age breaking in? Yeah, we get it. Well, then you're blessed. Therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. What a statement to end on. Scribes are usually used in the scriptures that group the scribes in a pejorative way, in a negative way, in a ridiculing way sometimes. Not here. He's describing every kingdom worker, isn't he? Scribes have to be trained, he says, in matters of the kingdom of heaven. And they have to sit under their masters, the master's tutelage. They have to be trained for these things. And Jesus says that's just what you are. You are like now a master of a house. And here's what you're doing. You're bringing out of your treasure what is new and what's old. The scribe has been trained over his house to offer his treasure. A rich supply. Your responsibility is to give the treasure. See it? Give the treasure. Isn't that remarkable? You don't even have to go look for it. Wow, I've got something worth more than $3 million in Civil War coins that I get to give to you today. Did you know that? Our job is to bring the treasure to you. You don't even have to go dig for it. What do you think ministry is? The treasure a true scribe gives, that which is new and old. Did you notice that? What is new and what is old? What's he thinking about? Well, what Jesus is describing is not what the scribes of his day did. They sat around and parked in the old and argued about the commandments all day long. Fun bunch, by the way. True scribes give what is new and give what is old. Remember when Jesus was on the road to Emmaus? They're troubled, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in the scriptures the things concerning himself. And he used great wisdom, and he was able to apply it. Christ is the treasure. You see why Christian ministry is so important? You see why the preaching of the gospel is so... We have to make this case over and over to every generation, especially in our day, because we have a whole generation who doesn't even think they need church. Showing where your treasure is. For many, listen, this can happen right here. For many, the treasure is buried under years of tradition and custom. For many, it's buried by a loyalty to family over God's kingdom. So they can't see it. For many, it's the world and the enjoyments of the world, and many think that's the treasure, and that's why the word has little place, and Jesus is giving the remedy. Minister the treasure to them. Bring it to them. That's your calling. And you can't help but hear in this the great concern that Jesus is just saying here as if he's saying nothing can be done about this awful scenario in the kingdom, about wheat and tares, about poor hearing of the soils, or about valuing. No. Pour out the treasure. You see? Pour out the treasure. They'll find it. They'll find it. They'll hear about Christ. And they'll say, he is my portion. He is my cup. He is my all in all. I've counted everything lost for the excellency of knowing Christ, said Paul. I said there's good news here. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then enjoy. He goes and sells all that he has and bought that field. The treasure today is God's gift to the world. He gave his son. The gift is the treasure. What do you value? If you can say, I value Christ and his kingdom and his word, that's my field. I have good news for you. You are a blessed people. You don't have to buy it. Listen to me. You don't have to buy it. I close with this. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. It's without money. It's without price. It's the most valuable treasure in all this world. Have you found it? Have you received it? Then with joy, go out and serve in that kingdom and pour out now your treasure and give that treasure to others. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, thank you for such a wonderful text and for helping us to understand what is most important. We confess, oh Lord, we confess that idolatry and struggle of loving the world and all these things is real, but your work in us, we can also say, has driven us to Christ to come. And if it all were taken away today, we'd be fine. For we have everything. Everything through the pearl. The treasure. Thank you for giving us the knowledge of Christ. Thank you for giving us salvation. May your kingdom and your righteousness be the pursuit of our lives by your grace and by your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, that's all the time we have for today. As always, we thank you for listening to us here on Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. We hope you'll join us next time for our ongoing studies in the book of Matthew. Until then, may the Lord bless you and keep you.